That's good. That's good, working with these children. You can see them, you can see the growth in them. That's what we want to see. That's what we're here for. We're all here to grow. Every one of us, in every way. Whether it's singing our part in a song, in our prayer life, whatever it might be, we're here to grow in the Lord. And that's just one part of it, you know. And we need it. We need it all. So that's a good thing. Anything else on anyone's heart? I'm going to take a reading lesson this morning. If you have your Bibles and like to turn with me in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. I was going to cut off a few verses, but I've decided in my reading that I'm going to just add them back in. I'm going to start reading in the first verse in the book of Romans in the 8th chapter. If I had a thought or this morning, it would just be, I guess, relations with and in Christ. And as we read through this, we'll get into our thought a little bit more. Starting in the first verse, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His own Son in likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. And I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And I'm going to stop my reading there in that 18th verse. I guess if I had a thought that I would take out of here, that in the 17th verse, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." And that's what my thought has been. As heirs of Christ, for each and every one of us that have been saved by God's grace, whether we know it or realize it, or whether we live our lives like that or not, we have been called into or placed into the family of God. And being a part or a place in that family of God, it says here that we are joint heirs with Christ. Now, everybody knows that when you make out a will, you know, you make out a will, parents make out a will, and they leave their possessions to their children or their family or their friends or whomever when they pass away. All those that are left behind, they are the heirs of what is to be given. This morning, I want us to consider that we're not heirs to earthly things in the spiritual sense this morning that I'm speaking of, though. I mean, I've told Zach for many years now that when he goes to school, he needs to make sure he gets a good education, and that when he gets out of school that he can get a good job and support himself, because I'm probably not going to leave him anything much. I'm going to spend mine. I've told him that all of his life. You know, the Lord, when He came to this earth, He came and He has returned back home to come back one day for those that have believed and trusted in Him. For all of us, there's a great spiritual inheritance. We've sang songs this morning about, we sing them all the time, about our heavenly homes. You can look over in the 10th chapter of the book of John, and we might read that. You know, you think about some of the things that go along. I don't necessarily believe that we're going to have a mansion. This says over here that we might have a mansion, but I don't believe in a literal mansion. I believe it's a place that is prepared for the church one of these days. I believe it's a place in heaven that the Lord has prepared. It says here in this 10th chapter of the book of John, or no, 14th chapter of the book of John, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye that believe in God, believe in me also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The Lord has left us many promises and many things. He tells us a lot about the inheritance to come. The things that are to come after we leave this life. I believe that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, they was all in the Old Testament. They was looking forward to the Messiah to come, and they was saved in the same way in the Old Testament as we're saved today. They was looking forward to Christ. In the time of Christ, those that were there in His presence, they believed on Him as He walked in flesh in front of them. And those same inheritance holds true to those people that believed in the Old Testament of the Messiah to come, of Jesus when He walked with them on earth, as for us in this time where we are looking back and seeing what Christ has done for us. We have all obtained an inheritance. I guess if you look back in the Old Testament, you think about the elder child would always receive a double portion of the inheritance. He would always get the first of the inheritance. But see, with this inheritance that the Lord has left us, this is a spiritual inheritance. We're going to all share equally, because we're co-heirs with Christ. I've been thinking about this subject for quite a long time, and to be able to present it, but the body that we live in today has sin in it. This flesh that surrounds us. The only thing that is good about us is that imputed righteousness that is within us when the Lord saved our soul. This flesh that we have that we're walking in today is still in sin. The Bible teaches
that one of these days that our bodies is going to be changed. The Bible says, in the moment in the twinkling of an eye, it's going to be changed. One of these days when the Lord comes back, that this fleshly body is going to be turned into something that is good, that is perfect, that is incorruptible, that is pure. That is the only way that we'll be able to have that inheritance. Because we believed in Christ. Because we trusted in Jesus. That is the only way that we'll have that inheritance with our Lord. The Bible tells us over in there's many verses that speaks about this. Over in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, in the 31st verse, it says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He'll separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them that are on the right, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." See, this inheritance was set up from the very foundation of the world. From the very beginning that God put forth the plan of salvation into effect for you and I, because He knew that you and I could not live a good enough life, and that we would be sinners, and we would there would be nothing about us that would ever be good enough. That He put that plan of salvation in effect, that He would send His Son Jesus to this earth, and that He would die for the sins of this world, that He would atone for the sins of the world on Calvary's cross by the shedding of His blood. Jesus, paid a great debt for you and I, that we might have an inheritance. That we might have an inheritance in heaven one of these days. He paid a great debt for us that you and I could... That verse over here that I read in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, where it speaks about that where we could cry, Abba, Father. In the relationship, in the personal relationship that we have when the Lord saves our soul, that we can literally call God Daddy. That's what Abba, Father, means. It literally means Daddy. When we have a relationship that close and that personal with the creators that created the heavens and the earth and the moon and the stars and everything that we see and that we know, that we have a relationship with God that we can call Him Daddy. That we can be co-heirs with Christ. Calling God our Father. It's mind-boggling to me to think about such an inheritance, such a thing. I'm afraid far too many times we get all caught up in the issues. You know, we'll go back here into the book of Revelations and we'll read those verses about the streets that are paved with gold and all those different glorious things that were in our mind's eye, that we see all the wealth and the riches and the money that you would attach to the things that's going to be in heaven. But that's not what it's going to be about, brothers and sisters. It's going to be about the glory of God. It's going to be about Jesus. It's not going to be about a mansion on a hill. It's going to be about the glory of Jesus that lighteth up where there's no sun, there's no moon, there's no day, there's no night. That the glory of the Son is going to shine. The glory of the Son, Jesus, is going to shine eternally, forever and forever. And for those of us that have been blessed enough to hear the truth of the gospel, that have believed in Jesus, that have repented and trusted in Him, that have Christ in them. For those of us that have Christ in them, that's a spiritual thing. See, you can't receive Christ in you or get Christ in you except by Him doing the work. It's through repentance and faith. There are people that believe that they can sacramentally take these things and by taking the Lord's Supper that they can drink wine, they can eat bread, that they're literally drinking the blood and just in the body of Christ, and that's how they get Christ in them. No! That's a lie from the pits of hell. The only way that you can have Christ in you is through repentance and faith in Him that died for your sins, and that is Jesus. The only way that you can obtain an inheritance in heaven and ever be there is through Jesus Christ, that you have to trust in Him and believe in Him with all your heart. All through these verses that I read for you this morning, is mentioned in the first and the second and in the 10th and the 8th and 11th verses, in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. And if Christ be in you, Christ, and the Spirit dwell in you. It's all about knowing and understanding that Christ is in you. See, that's the only way that you'll have that eternal inheritance. That's the only way that you can truly say to God, Daddy. That you can, in times of troubles and trials in this life, that you can turn up to Father, help me. Lord, help me because I'm sick. Lord, help me because I need your help in this situation, in this trial. The circumstance of whatever it might be. See, you got to realize and understand and remember that you are co-heirs with Jesus Christ, that you can call God your Father, and that He can answer anything and do anything because He is God. He is God Almighty that created the heavens and the earth. Far too many times we forget that and we look past these things. But we have a relationship with God. Those of us that have been saved by Christ have a relationship, and we know it, don't we? We know that we have Christ in us. We know that Christ is in us. We know that.
We look over into the book of Hebrews, and I've got a couple marked here, but in the 6th chapter, it says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee.' And so, after they had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, that which was impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation who have fled for the refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us." There's a strong consolation that we feel there. There's something that you can know. There's a strong feeling. It's a godly feeling. It's something that's been imbibed in you. It's a righteousness that is put inside of you when the Lord saved your soul through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. It's a strong consolation. It's a strong feeling. It's something there that you know, don't you? You know that you know that you know. And without knowing this, now without knowing this, without having this strong consolation, without having an understanding that Christ is in you, hell is going to be your home.
But he came, Jesus, to this earth that all might come to repentance and be saved. That all would come to repentance. By two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that was set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into them within the veil. There's a hope that is given there. And this is not a hope that is something that you're wishing for. This is a hope that is secure and that you know about. This is a hope that I know one of these days that I'm going to be obtaining a part of that inheritance that the Lord has for me. I don't think that, you know, the Bible speaks of crowns, that we're going to have a crown, crowns of righteousness for those that have done the things that they're supposed to do and live the life that they're supposed to live before God, that they're going to be crowned with righteousness. I don't think when we get up there, anybody's going to be walking around no crowns. I believe they're going to, as soon as they see the Lord, I believe they'll take their crowns and they'll cast them at His feet, because if it had not been for Him, we wouldn't be there. It ain't going to be about money. It ain't going to be about possessions. It's going to be about Jesus. That's what heaven's going to be about. It's going to be about Jesus. And it's going to be about our relationship with the Lord. It's going to be about worshiping the Lord through eternity. That's what it's going to be about. Do you love the Lord today? I hope you do. One of these days, if you've been saved by God's grace, you have got a portion of the inheritance, and you're going to be up there with me, and we're going to get to worship God in the presence of our Lord and Savior. Those of you that have not will not. In that reading in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, it said the Lord is going to call the nations together, and He's going to separate this world of those goats on the left hand and His sheep on the right. Those goats that's going to be cast down into an ever burning lake of fire. Those that are His sheep, He's going to take up with them. He's going to take them up there, and they're going to receive their inheritance. See, our inheritance is all about believing in Jesus. So it all goes back to Jesus. Everything that we do, as we gather here this morning, and as we sing our songs, as we pray our prayers, it's all God and glory of God. It's all to the honor and glory of God. Everything that we do is supposed to give God honor and glory. You know, the institution, you think about the relationship. You know, that's a personal relationship. But you think about as a group relationship, that the Bible tells us about the bride, doesn't it? That the church or the ecclesia, the called out, those that He has put together, the body of Christ here. One of these days, there's going to be a general gathering of all those ecclesias, of all those bodies. There's not going to be independent churches anymore. There's going to be one in heaven. All of us are going to gather around and we're going to worship. We're not going to. There's not going to be a church book up there that says whether you're on the roll book at faith. See, there's a lot of people in this world depending on their name being on a church roll book. They're depending upon their name being on a book, or they're depending upon getting baptized somewhere or something like that. That's what they're depending upon that's going to get them their inheritance in heaven. But it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's only through and by repentance and faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the only way that you can ever have that hope, which is the anchor of the soul. That's what that said in my reading. It's the anchor. It holds us. It's one of the promises that, if nobody else ever spoke to me and let me know, I would know that heaven is going to be my home, because that imputed righteousness is the anchor that allows, that holds me down and lets me know that I've been saved.
It's important that you have a salvation that you know about. If you don't have a salvation that you know about, then you don't have salvation. You don't have it. You think about, I was thinking about it in my studies, you think about some of the things that the Lord, how He promises He's going to be with us all through time. You think about this one that's read in the 23rd Psalm all the time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Just that first verse there is enough, isn't it? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is the great shepherd. He is the one that watches over His flock. He is the one that watches over His sheep. We have an assurance there, don't we? We have an anchor right there, don't we, of the truth to know and understand that the Lord is going to be with us. In the Great Commission, He says, "Lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world." The Lord is going to be there with us. Whether we're in individual form, just like here in this 23rd Psalm, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not walk. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." His correction and His leadership, they comfort us. That's part of that hope. That's part of that anchor that's within us. When the Lord saves our soul, that rod and that staff, we know is present with us as we go through that life to help us to do right and keep us from doing wrong. That's that good shepherd that's walking with us. That's the shepherd that pastors over His churches and directs His churches and leads His people. "Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Surely goodness and mercy is going to follow. Surely it is. Because God is my Father. How can it be bad? How can life be bad? How can things be bad when we have God as our Father? Oh, we have earthly fathers, yes. But if you've been saved by God's grace, there's one greater than them. There's one greater than your earthly father. One that can handle and do anything, that can take care of anything. The only one that can save your soul is that Heavenly Father. That good shepherd. Trying to think here, as I was reading, like I said, there were several verses over here in the 10th chapter of the book of John. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand, out of the hand of my Father. And I and my Father are one." When we are in Christ, and Christ is in us, that makes us one, doesn't it? That makes us one with the Father. We're in the family. We're in the inheritance that God has so richly blessed us with.
We've said this morning, but to be able to come to a church that the Lord has put together is a blessing. To be able to come to a church the Lord has put together where His Spirit moves and across the service and across the people is a blessing. A church that you can go to and come and feel the Spirit of the Lord working and moving, that you can hear the truth, that you can grow in the Word of God, that you can grow in the relationship with God is a blessing. This is part of, I believe that the church is part of, that's part of our inheritance. To be quite honest, it's part of our inheritance here while we're on this earth. See, the Lord instituted two things while He was here. He instituted marriage and His church. Both of those things was brought about for God's honor and glory and for our help and for our instruction. God blesses those that in their marriage and in their homes and in their church that follow after His ways, God blesses them. God blesses them. The Lord surely watches over them. You know, Satan is, he's at work so much trying to destroy just exactly both of those things. He's trying to destroy the home. There is so much. I can't turn on the TV or listen to anything anymore where there's nothing, where there's not something that is related to homosexuality. Nothing. I mean, it's everywhere. What does that destroy? It destroys the home. It destroys the family that from the very beginning that the Lord put into place. The man and the woman. Everywhere you look and everything you see, Satan is destroying his churches. There's so many counterfeits and so much garbage out there in the world that takes away, and then you've got all the allurements of the world itself and all the money and or whatever else that might come before you, all these different allurements that takes people that are in the church out of the church, and in all those allurements that keeps people that haven't heard the truth from coming in the church and hearing the truth. The devil's on his job. He's destroying things right and left. You know, I believe that it was when the apostles was walking with Christ while He was here on this earth, and when He died and hung on Calvary's cross, I believe that they expected His imminent return to be very soon after He ascended to heaven. I believe, and just the way that you read the preaching, there was a not only a sense of excitement to just try to do what the Lord wanted them to do for God's honor and glory, but there was also a sense of urgency that you need to hear the truth and you need to believe. That was over 2,000 years ago. Don't know when He's coming back, but brothers and sisters, I hope that we can have that urgency, that we can feel the need for those that are lost out there. I know our revival's over, but we have to be diligent and working, trying to get those that are lost to come and to hear them. that they can be saved. What I've talked about this morning would be something good to tell somebody. You can be an heir with Jesus. My father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns it all. My daddy owns everything. And he can save your soul if you'll trust in him and believe him. He can save your soul today. And you can be an heir with me. You can get a part of that inheritance. That part of that joy that fills my soul this morning. That imputed righteousness of Christ. You can have a part of that. I heard a story. Actually, while we were gone on our trip, it was a story about an older man and his son. They lived in this nice big house, and this man was a very wealthy man. But he took all of his money and he put it in paintings and pictures. And he had all his wealth was in his house in these paintings and the pictures that hung around the walls. And his son was a good, diligent young man. He would go out and go to work every morning. And there was this beggar that was on the side of the street there. You know, just a, I guess we just call him a bum. That hung out there close to where they lived. And his son would go by and he would, when he'd see him, he would give him a little money. He'd help him out, you know. If he needed some food or something, he'd try to help him out and do these things. What long that the son got very deathly ill and died. The father was just grief-stricken. He just killed him. He stayed in his house and didn't go out. He mourned the death of his son. One day, this old beggar, this bum that was friends with his son, brought him a picture that he had drew of his son. He drew him a picture, and this man, this lifted his spirits. You know, it brightened his day, and he took this just piece of paper that he had drawn a picture of his son on, and he took his expensive paintings down, and he placed this picture of his son just right over his hearth, right over the fireplace where he could sit and he could view that. And he viewed this as the greatest possession that he had, as far as his pictures go, the picture of his son. He thought so much of it, and it helped him for a little while to get past it. One day this older man died. And He left in his will, at the auction, he left some instructions for some things. So the auctioneer went in and he had this auction. There was just tons of people that come because of all the great works of art that this man had acquired in his lifetime and the wealth and all these things. Auctioneer said, the man wanted to start with this picture right here. He wants to start with this picture of his son. This is the first picture that's going to be auctioned off today. The room was quiet. Nobody made a bid, said a word. Then he heard 10 cents. He said, all right, I got 10 cents. Anybody else want to bid? Anybody else want to bid? I've got 10 cents. And they said, nobody, we don't want to bid on that. We want to bid. Get to the good stuff. Put, you know, go ahead and sell that and get to the good stuff. Get to the ones that's worth a lot of money. Auctioneer banged the gavel. He said, sold for 10 cents. And then after that, he said, Auction's over. That's it. Nothing else to be sold today. And everybody was, what's going on? What's the problem? Why aren't you selling everything? He said, well, the old man left special instructions in his will that whoever got the son got it all.
I tell you today,
whoever gets the son gets it all. Whoever gets Jesus inherits it all. You can have it all this morning. You can have it all today. But you got to trust in Jesus. You got to believe in Jesus. If you ever want to have anything, you got to come to Jesus this morning.
Brother Bird, if we could have a song.
You're here today lost and you don't know the Lord. You need Jesus. You need Jesus in you.
I'll stand, turn to page 123. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Thank you.
Service and then open up for a business meeting, or how you want to do that? Okay. All right, we'll close this service. We're going to have a business meeting following immediately following the service. All members can will stay. Appreciate that. Any visitors that's here and would like to stay, be glad to have you. All hearts and minds free.
you know, the next greatest thing to salvation is down the line. I think, I know sometimes that's a little scary for some folks, and but the truth of the matter is the Lord's needing you to do that. He just holds onto your hand, and He gives you all the right words, and the greatest thing about it, there's a lot of long way to say it or do it. It's whatever the Lord puts on your heart. Yeah. He'll give you the right words.
Absolutely.
And they may be small words and little words and not much in your eyes, but in the Lord's eyes, they're big words. And He can use them to give Him honor and glory that He deserves.
Amen.
So when we hold back and we don't follow the leadership of the Lord, we're robbing ourselves of a blessing.
Amen.
We just really are.
Yeah.
Just let the Lord take you wherever He wants you to go, and He'll take care of all of it.
Amen. Appreciate this word. Certainly, let's remember Dylan as he goes to preach. Pray for all of our youth. Someone else this morning. If not, I'll stand and we'll be dismissed. Brother Shoulders, can you dismiss us?
You know, I think this beautiful day, thank you we had it up to the end of the night. Thank the good people we heard today, the one brought to us. Oh, if anyone here is lost today, may they continue to condition their soul and turn to them and be saved before it's ever left too late. Lord, ask you to go with us, forgive us of any sin and shortcomings. Thank you for salvation our soul. Please save us the best in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
No, that was it. Do you want your paper? Listen, do you want your paper?